Welcome to A Friend of Mine, a series of conversations with some incredible and inspiring women in business from regional and rural Australia. I'm Kimberly Furness, your host and the founder and editor of Oak Magazine, and I cannot wait to introduce you to some amazing female entrepreneurs who will share with you their experience and knowledge of what it takes to start, grow, and scale a successful business. So let me introduce you to A Friend of Mine. Meet Carrington Lyons, the first female camera operator on the Nine News Central Victoria team. The most remarkable part? She's only 22. Carrington has always had a passion for photography and filmmaking, but Year 12 at St Bridget's College Horsham didn't pan out the way she anticipated. Her short film for Tropfest wasn't shortlisted, and she didn't get her first round university offer. So Carrington chose to defer uni and take up a hairdressing apprenticeship. 6 months in, Carrington knew hairdressing wasn't where her heart lay. With the support of her boss and family, she moved to Bendigo. It was a last-minute shift change at a restaurant in Bendigo that Carrington bumped into TV journalist Sarah Lawrence, who extended an invitation for Carrington to visit the Nine News Central Victoria studio. Carrington got her foot in the door, and now her days revolve around churning out high-quality local news interviews, stories, and packages. Carrington shares with us her story of persistence and hard work and why she believes everything happens for a reason. Meet my friend, Carrington, from Nine News Central Victoria. Welcome, Carrington, and thank you for being today's guest.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Now, this is really amazing. You are the first female camera operator on the Nine News Central Victoria team. And more remarkable, you're only 22. How do you feel about that title?
Oh, it's just above and beyond sometimes. Like it still hasn't totally sinked in. And every time someone says it to me, you're just like, oh yeah, I keep forgetting that like this is like a big deal. Because I don't know. I just like it's something that I've always sort of hoped for, and like such a male dominated industry that people still look at me with open eyes like, wow, you're a girl and you look like you're in training, but you're working. It's really interesting.
Yeah, especially in 2020, hey.
Yeah.
it's a moment to shake your head sometimes, but it's amazing to see such, you know, a young woman like yourself opening the door and leading the way. And I'm sure that other people will follow through. Like they'll either listen to this podcast or find out in another way and just go, wow, you know, that girl Carrington, yeah, she's a camera operator for a regional news team. I could be that too.
Oh, I love that. I hope there's more people that think like that and aspire to do things that might not necessarily be like right at the door for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, definitely. Now, what I love about your story is that it doesn't follow a straight line from, say, high school to uni, then into the workforce, and from there, you know, working your way through the ranks. Instead, there's been a couple of career changes and, you know, a few hurdles. Can you take us back to year 10 work experience and tell us why that was so significant for your career and how it all started?
So when I was year 10, I definitely did not know what I wanted to do for work experience. And both my parents knew that I'd taken a big interest in like these short videos around the school of my friends, and I'd take them on my phone and come home and chop them up on the computer. And my dad just said to me like, well, do you want to work with cameras? And I was like, oh, well, of course, yes, that sounds like fun. And my mum being a photographer, I already sort of like knew a bit about being in front of them and behind them. And my dad sort of approached me and said, well, do you want to try news? Because obviously that's something here local. So my dad organized for me to do work experience for a week at Win News. And that was really exciting. My mum took me shopping. We got like proper nice clothing for all of it. It was really exciting.
It's so important.
No joke, that's what we did. It actually is. And it like, oh, I just remember owning like ballet flats for the first time and like cute little shirts, like the pop color shirts that the journalists would wear on the TV. And like it just, you know, you're so young in this really professional workplace. And it was like, it was a huge deal. And I just remember coming in there and meeting Sarah, and particularly one of the camera operators named Cable Williams. And he was phenomenal. I remember the journalist sort of wanted me to stay with them, but I know that Sarah Lawrence knew that I'd taken more of an interest to the camera and the editing side. And she definitely helped me sort of stay with cable most of the way. So he would actually let me have a little look like through the lens of the camera. And I remember one day he'd let me sit down at the computer and just sort of like put things together into a sequence to how like it would sort of go on the news. And I don't know, it really put things in perspective. It was way different than watching your friends on the screen. It was so high quality and the audio was amazing. And it was just nothing I'd ever seen before.
It's just fantastic when there's someone in a workplace that recognizes, I suppose, a younger person's interest and just, I don't know, pops them under their wing and, you know, sort of herds them over to where they need to be, because you'll just learn so much from on-the-job work experience, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. And it just shows so many years later. At that point in time, there is no way, like, you know, it's year 10 work experience. Oh, yeah, so much fun. But actually so many years later, like, it just leaves such a big imprint, and I don't think you really recognized that at the time.
No, I agree too, most certainly. Year 10 work experience definitely had played a big role in where I am today. So I suppose from that point, did you then recognize you wanted a career in media?
I knew it was definitely of interest, but it was funny, at the same time, probably only 6 months prior, I'd actually also done my certificate one in hairdressing through school as well. So I sort of had a little bit of a foot in the door in both.
Were you pulled towards one more than the other, or?
Oh, it was always media. It was always media, straight from the beginning.
Now, you mentioned also that there was a teacher at school that had recognised your interest in media and helped you enter Melbourne's Tropfest.
When I relocated to Horsham, my year 11 and 12 media teacher, she really took a shine to me, and particularly the fact that I had access to a high definition camera through my mum. Because I had such amazing equipment available to me and such a good eye already for framing and composure and, you know, all those aspects that you have in a frame of a camera, she really pushed me to enter Tropfest, which is a Melbourne competition, which I think they only, by the end of it, they actually only show 10 videos from districts and schools. Yeah, it's a pretty big competition, which they do once a year. And she helped me enter that. And unfortunately, I didn't receive a letter of acceptance for it, which was a pretty big deal at the time, because I was coming to the end of year 12. I'd spent 6 months on this massive project, which I think is still somewhere on YouTube, actually. It was this huge 10-minute long video. Like, my mum helped me like work out how to record myself, like stuck in the back of a ute. Oh gosh, we just filmed so many things, and some were shot in day, some were shot at night, some were shot with the big camera, and sometimes the audio wasn't right, so we had to work out how to sync up like a proper pop mic, and it was full on. So we entered it into the competition and didn't get in, or didn't receive a letter of acceptance or anything. And I'd come to the end of year 12 and I'd picked up a job at a hair salon. And they actually offered me an apprenticeship, which definitely swayed me that way, because I sort of felt it wasn't a failure, but it sort of felt like I'd failed at something that I wanted to pursue, and there was something else on, like another window had opened for me.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I can see how, yeah, you might have made that decision back then. And obviously you made a really big decision in deferring your offer to Deakin University at that time.
Yeah, well, that was another thing that didn't quite go right. So I got my letter of acceptance for Deakin, but I didn't actually get it for film and television. I got it for drama. So it just didn't, like, none of it quite felt right. None of it synced up the way it was supposed to. And then, yeah, I had this offer for an apprenticeship, and a lot of my friends had decided to go to university. So most of them moved, because we're in a tiny little town. There's not really a lot of opportunity there. So a lot of them had relocated and moved away. And I decided in the end to obviously take up this apprenticeship and at least put something behind me rather than just working the year, because I'm such a school buff. I love school. I love being a sponge and soaking up as much as I can.
At the time, you were feeling pretty crushed about the decision to defer, or you were happy to go into hairdressing?
I guess a bit of both, because hairdressing was something that I'd already sort of started back in year 10 when I did my Cert 1 certificate. However, if I had have got the opportunity at Deakin for film and television, it wouldn't have swayed me at all. That would have been the direction I would have chose, but unfortunately it just wasn't on the table for me.
So hairdressing to camera operating, that's a big change. Can you tell me more about that? How did you eventually sort of, I suppose, almost do a full circle back to what you wanted to do?
So I took up this apprenticeship and I got about six months in, and I just remember this really distinctive conversation with my boss. And my boss just actually said to me one day, she said, if you are too smart for this, do better, strive for better, do what you want to do. And that was such a big turning point, because like I was 6 months into this apprenticeship, I'd really committed to it, but I wasn't happy in it. And after this conversation, it just made me feel like, wow, if I let this go, I'm not going to let her down. I'm just going to better myself. And that's pretty much what happened. So I sat down with my mum and my boss, and we decided I was going to discontinue my apprenticeship after 6 months. And my mum didn't want me to fully quit hairdressing, and neither did my dad, because I'd given it so much and I still wanted my qualification, and obviously couldn't go to uni for 6 months either anyway, because they weren't accepting things halfway through the year. So my mum told me there was a Certificate 3 at Bendigo TAFE, and we relocated me within 3 days. It was crazy. I just pretty much up and moved within 3 days of quitting. Moved in with family members, and I was very, very lucky actually. My teacher for my Certificate 1 was also one of the teachers for the Cert 3, and because she knew me, and she'd already seen my work ethic, she actually let me into the course 6 months late, and I was second to finish. I still love hairdressing, and even now there's days where I just think, oh, it would just be so nice to actually like cut someone's hair. I don't know, there's just this real peace about it, but it definitely wasn't what I wanted to do forever. And even when I was doing my course and I'd see these girls talking about like how they want to own their own salon one day, like that just never resonated with me. It was never, ever what I wanted.
There you go. So the universe was telling you, we just needed everything to line up for you. So how did you find your way back to 9U Central Victoria?
Well, this is what's really interesting is I finished my Certificate 3 in hairdressing. I think it was the 20th of June 2018. So going back a little bit now. And at the time I was working 3 jobs. So I was working as a qualified hairdresser at Onyx Hair Co. in Maiden Gully, and I was working at a restaurant and a nightclub.
So
it didn't leave a lot of space for social activity. And I'd actually been pulled in to cover a shift for another girl at the restaurant. So I wasn't even supposed to be working. And I'd only come in for about 3 hours, and funny enough, Sarah Lawrence was actually out having dinner with some friends, and she'd come up to pay and recognized me, and we started a discussion about like what she was doing and what I was doing, and I told her that I'd just completed my first year of university at Deakin doing film and television, and she invited me back into 9 just to sort of like word for word, she just said to me, if you want to come in and have a little nerd out, just do some work experience, she'd love to have me aboard. And just like, oh, I love that so much. She had, you know, she just such a nice person to just be like, oh yeah, come in and have a look, I'd love to see like what you're doing and you can have a look at what we're doing, maybe it'll help you with uni. And that was pretty much it. I invested 3 days a week, 8 hours 3 days a week at 9U doing work experience, which ended up turning into an internship.
I suppose those sacrifices that you've made have really paid off. Like, you've essentially landed your dream job.
Yes, pretty much. Oh, it's definitely been a crazy ride, and it definitely has not been easy. And I definitely think there was some luck involved, like even just picking up that shift and running into Sarah. That is insane. That is just like, I'd only started at that job for maybe like 4 months before. So just the timing of everything was really, really full on. So I definitely think there was some luck involved.
Yeah. But as you said before, like, don't underestimate the hard work and the talent that it takes to do the job that you do either. Now, switching gears, can you tell me why local news is so important to a regional community?
For me, I never really took a huge interest in news until obviously year 10 work experience. But even when I was moving around so much, It didn't really resonate because it wasn't right in front of me. And I think when you think of the news, you don't think about it being in your own backyard or like with your next door neighbor. You think it might be in Melbourne or in those like really big suburban areas that are so far away, especially like Bendigo is 2 hours away from Melbourne. So when I think of metro news, I think, oh, it's 2 hours away. It's not going to affect me. So I think with regional news and now being in it and experiencing it every day, there's been stories that we do like around the corner from my house. They are so close to home, and it's so important to be aware of these things that really are in your neighbor's backyards. Like, it is crazy. It's just, and I think it is more important to be aware of those things. And especially at this time, like we're essentially living in a history book at the moment with this pandemic. It's so important to understand what is happening around you and around your family and around your hometown, because that is going to be what impacts you the most. And it's amazing how like the community around us has just been so involved in our stories at the moment, because they want to know more. And even so do I. I come to work every morning going, yes, like, what are we going to do today? I can't wait to find out what story is on board today. And it doesn't matter if it's about the pandemic or if it's been a break-in or if it's a really fun, loving, colourful story. They're all so interesting and they're so close to home.
What have been some of your favourite moments on the job so far?
One of my favourite stories was the first day I actually had the handover. So my very first day contracted to work with Nine, Sarah Lawrence and the camo I was taking over from during our handover, they'd actually taken me out to Whoop Whoop, and we did, I don't know where we were, it was so out back, but there was heaps of planes, and we got to do all these shots of all these amazing like firefight planes, and actually got to see them take off into the air, and like there were kids there, and it was just really amazing to see, because I'd never been so close to like a runway, let alone a grass runway.
Yeah, that's the beauty of a media backstage pass. You do get to see some incredible things that, you know, people in their day-to-day don't see, and you get to meet people and have conversations with them that, again, just your everyday person doesn't. There's something really, really special and magical about being in the media, I think, and it's something that'll stay with you, for the rest of your life.
I love that comment, though, a backstage pass, because that is exactly what it is. That really, really sums it up. It's all that stuff and all that work that you don't get to see on just like the top layer of a story.
Yeah, definitely. How often do people ask, make me look good on the camera?
That was one thing that they definitely drilled into me straight away with the camera, is that you might only have 8 seconds to get that camera rolling before your talent can then for decide that they don't want to do it anymore, and then it's gone and it's lost and you don't have it. So I guess, like, it's funny when it comes to making people look good on camera, you find that those who actually have a lot of practice in front of camera, they're the ones that actually want to stop and start again, because they know what a muck up looks like compared to someone off the street that just goes, oh yeah, okay, we'll just do it quickly, and then it's over and done with. And they just say whatever they need to get off their chest, and then they keep going. They don't seem to worry about it as
much. I've seen that too.
Yeah.
It's generally those that are in politics, I find, that are really good at it, like in your council representatives,
yes,
and business leaders. So I suppose, yeah, those big organisations around town where, yeah, as you said, they're in front of the media all the time. They know how to hold themselves. They're confident enough to actually say, oh, can we just stop there? I need to redo that.
Exactly.
And I do try to sort of pass this on to a couple of clients that I have as well, that don't be afraid of the media. Like, if they're coming to do a good news story, you are in charge. You can stand there and say, I'm sorry, that's not what I'm trying to articulate, can I have another go? And you know, for those that are in media, you're more than happy for them to get it right. Like, you want that strong quote.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
right,
that's what we're looking for as journalists,
and you're usually prepared to wait for it too. You don't mind if they stuff up and want to start again, as long as they feel comfortable and you're getting the piece of work that you need, which I think a lot of people don't, a lot of people locally, just like normal, average, everyday people don't understand, is rather than just saying no, you can have a practice, you can have a small chat before and feel more comfortable to be on camera, rather, because there's been so many stories we've done where we just need a vox pop, just need just an ordinary person just to say one quick sentence to support the business or support the community or the story, and they'll just say no because they don't understand how vital it is actually to get that grab.
Yeah. Now, what would be the most challenging part of your job? Has there been a day that has been really tough for you at all?
There was actually one not too long ago where our deadline at the moment just temporarily is at 5 o'clock. Usually it's earlier than that. But I think at the moment with our team's temporary situation, sometimes it can be really, really stressful just trying to communicate with one individual member of the team and trying to get things right and in on time, because sometimes things are left so late in the day and then you don't know if you're going to make that deadline, and then there's that pressure that it's not going to go to air or that there's been a stuff up and you've got to recall the vision, correct it and resend it, and then it's got to get accepted again. Like, there's just so many procedures that have to be followed before it can actually go to air on the TV. I think anyway the hardest part about doing this job is don't fall under the pressure, like rise above it. It's so important not to let yourself get totally consumed by the pressure of the job. You've just got to actually take two steps back, take a breath, and then come back into it, because if you really focus on that pressure, you're not going to get there. You're not going to be able to do the job.
Mm. And I mean, a newsroom is very deadline intensive in its own right, and it's like a little pressure cooker some days. So, you know, from my days in a newsroom, I would actually, I suppose, hold on to that, just that worry of whether the story was right, whether I'd, you know, got the facts correct, the dates, the times, all of that. I would hold that until the next day when the paperboy would deliver the paper and I could crack it open and have a look, and again, hold it until I got into the office, and, you know, just to judge whether the editor was happy or not. And it was just this continuous cycle of, I don't know, of stress, of, you know, always concerned about whether I was doing the right thing. And look, that could be, you know, I was only early 20s when I was in a newsroom. So I always do say, I think I wasn't old enough to be in one.
Like, I think that sometimes, like, I'm definitely I'm the youngest member on our team by 5 years. I know that. And then being the only girl that's a camera operator as well, like, I really heavily rely sometimes on that other camo dandy, and he has taught me so much. And actually, even just before jumping on to you, I got a call from him about the footage that we did today, and just, I love that he relays feedback to me. It's just so relieving when, like, you pick up the phone from your coworker and they're not, you know, they're not going to tell you something bad when they actually say to you, like, good job today, like, that looked amazing, lighting looks good, audio sounds good. It's just really good it's that relief that you know you're doing it right.
Mm, constructive feedback. It's the way they deliver it, isn't it? It just, that helps you continue to grow rather than, I suppose, just stall and doubt yourself all the time when you go into work. So
no, exactly,
you're lucky,
right,
to have such, such good leadership around you and obviously great teammates. Now, looking back, and I know there's not a long time sort of between high school and where you are today, like, just looking back, do you ever wish that, you know, you might have taken a left lane instead of a right one, or are you just happy with the way things have unfolded?
I guess I'm one of those people that doesn't really dwell on the past. I guess, you know, whatever is meant to be will be, very que sera sera kind of person. If, you know, people have sometimes said to me, like, oh, maybe you never should have, you know, should have done media from the start and shouldn't have done the hairdressing. But if I hadn't have done the hairdressing, then I wouldn't own my house. And I never would have picked up a second job that led me into the media 2 years earlier, prior to those other students that are still studying at Deakin University. Like, I just don't think, I just think everything worked out the way it was supposed to. Even with my Deakin offer the first time around getting drama, which obviously wasn't what I wanted, so it steered me in a different direction. But when I reapplied after I got my qualification, I got accepted for film and television and got offered accommodation. Like, it just resonated that was right, that was supposed to happen, and this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. So for those that may be coming up to the end of year 12 this year, or maybe even missed out on their first preference last year, there's always time. You know, whatever happened at the end of year 12 doesn't determine your future or your career direction by any means.
Absolutely not. And there's so many ways around it that people just don't understand. And I think too, if you've got one problem, don't focus on that problem. Start focusing on things that will help that one problem.
Now, finally, before I let you go, can you tell me about a friend of yours that we need to know about?
I'm so going to send this to her when we're all done and wrapped up. But my best friend, Sarah Dunn, it took me a lot. Like, I really look up to her in the way that she was originally from a rural area and then moved to Horsham like me as well. So she wasn't from there either. But before me, she actually totally uprooted her entire life, moved away from all her friends and all her family and relocated up to Queensland to pursue nursing. I don't know why she wanted to do it in Queensland. I don't understand the codes and conventions and things, the differences between Victoria and Queensland, but obviously that's where she wanted to be, and that had the area of study that she needed and wanted to strive for. And I just think that's amazing, like such an independent person who's my age as well. And she just was like, this is what I want to do, this is where I want to be, and I'm going, and I can do it, and I know I can do it, so I'm going to go do it.
Ah, that's beautiful. And you also have somewhere to stay if you ever want to go up north.
Yeah, exactly right. I've got a little holiday house.
I want to thank you again for sharing your story. And I just, you know, as I said, you're 22. I cannot wait to see what else you do, Carrington. And I'm so impressed that you are the first female camera operator right here in Bendigo, really, for 9U Central Victoria. And I really do think that other young women will be looking up to you, especially those who are interested in media, and that there is a career like behind the camera, not just in front of it doing the news reading, that you can actually be behind the camera helping to shoot and put it all together. So yeah, thank you again.
No worries at all. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Now, before you take off with all that inspiration and knowledge, we'd love for you to leave a review on our podcast so that we can continue to amplify women's voices in the media. And if you have any questions, or you'd like to celebrate a win, you can always connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at OakMagazineAU. I'm so glad we've met, and that now you know a friend of mine.